Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. I always say that literally, and especially as we get older. And today, our show is going to fly by, and I hope all of you out there are doing just fine, wherever you are, and we're coming to the end of COVID, not really the end, but changes in the U.S., and my hearts and prayers go out to India and the many other countries that still do not have things under control. And, you know, today we're going to talk about the VFW, Veteran of Foreign Wars, and other issues, giving back. You know, the United States has gone out, and many countries go out, and so much goes on, and our soldiers and men and women who give their lives to keep the freedom, I think a lot of us go by day to day and kind of forget, you know, things that are going on and what has been done. And the Veteran of Foreign Wars needs you. Bill Miller is going to join us today, and I'm so excited to have Bill Miller on today, who has faithfully served his entire life. A veteran of foreign wars, and he knows, as he's faithfully serving now even after being retired. Did you know you can join even if your family member was in the VFW? We'll hear more about that today. They need your help, and so many. It's obvious when a returning veteran from war is disabled for serving our country. It's just gut-wrenching to me, and many that don't make it back. What's not so obvious a lot of times is a disabled veteran, there's many that suffer in silence from invisible wounds from war, post-traumatic stress disorder, and the list goes on and on and on. And this isn't something that we can just say, okay, it stops now. You're home. Great. Thanks. Welcome you in. It needs to go on and continue. And I literally, this is going to sound so naive, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I truly thought by the time like 20, 30 years passed, we wouldn't have any more ground wars. And unfortunately, we still are. Bill Miller, who I am always going to refer to as Commander Miller, and whether he likes me or not, I'm always going to say Commander Miller, he faithfully volunteers daily, and today he'll fill us in on ways we can help too. Commander Miller served in the United States Air Force from June of 1970, and he retired in 2006, was a former supervisor at 175 Wing, a former personnel manager at MDANG, Medang, personal manager at U.S. Department of Defense, DOD, and manager at Maryland Air National Guard from 1988 to 2006, state chief of staff at VFW from June 2014 to 15, as well as Maryland State Junior Vice Commander of Foreign Wars and also state senior vice commander from 2016 to 17, and state commander at, from June of Foreign Wars from June 17th to 18th. I hope I got that right. And devoted husband of Penny, who is beautiful, wonderful, and amazing. And, you know, they always say behind every good man is a great woman, right? So I'm going to put that out there for over 47 years. And without further ado, welcome Commander Bill Miller, and I get to do that. How are you?
Hey, Natalie, I'm fine. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate being able to speak a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to take the whole 45 minutes, but you know, I speak a little bit about the VFW initiatives, what we do, why we do it, and some of the other things I do, too, you know, for veterans advocacy.
That sounds great. There's so much that people don't understand, I think. Would you agree that a lot of people do not realize what can be done? And tell us how you got started. You've always been involved, but let us know, tell us where the avenue is and what's the best thing everyone can do.
Well, as Natalie said, you know, I enlisted in 1970 during the Vietnam era. I'm a veteran of the Vietnam era. I didn't go to Vietnam. I was a little late in that thing, but I did serve during Kosovo in that arena, and I served during Desert Storm in that arena, specifically under Southern Watch. That's what you need to be a member of the VFW or the auxiliary. You need to sponsor under someone who is a combat veteran. That's the key, and that's the big difference between the American Legion and the VFW. VFW have to have combat service, which I do. But anyway, what we do in the VFW, it is a very, very wide and encompassing role that the VFW does. But we always put the interests of our members first. I mean, they're veterans, and, you know, we love them. We treat our donors as partners in cause, and we have a lot of huge donors. We promote patriotism. We honor military service. We ensure the care of veterans and their families. I don't know how many people know this, but if you go back in the history of the Veterans Administration, W was key in establishing the Veterans Administration. We have the veterans,
wow.
The VFW, oh yeah, VFW,
I didn't know that.
Yes, was organized in 1899, and it was a number of veterans up in Pennsylvania who were Spanish-American War veterans that back then there was no organization or nothing within the government to support our veterans, you know, being wounded, coming home, you know, there was nothing. So that was one of the primary reasons we started, was to get that advocacy for our veterans and our wounded started. We serve our communities in numerous ways. Promoting
I had no idea it was that long ago.
Yeah, the VFW has been around since 1899. It is definitely what we do every day, promotes a positive image of the VFW. And recently, more recently, and most importantly, we respect the diversity of our veterans. We really started probably in the last 10 years to totally honor our women veterans and make sure that they're involved and that they are they're honored just like any veteran would be. We have a program called Change Direction, and it's basically notify signs. You had mentioned PTSD, and that is a big program within the Veterans of Foreign Wars. We know for a fact we're losing 20 plus veterans a day to veteran suicide.
To suicide, 20 a day?
Yes.
Oh, that's horrible. And is that nationwide?
That's globally.
Okay. Oh, globally. Okay.
Well, but they're American veterans. That's globally because some of them are, you know, committing suicide and they're on active duty. So, yeah, that's a real number. You know, it's 20 to 22. So,
well, I want to ask you, because we have so much to go over on the PTSD, PTSD. When are they afraid? Because if they're active still, or even, you know, once they're retired, I guess, or once they're, if they're disabled, or if they're active, are they afraid to tell anybody? Is it going to mess with their, you know, their benefits or their rights? Or because I've heard so many stories.
They're afraid of command stigmatism. In other words, they have the feeling, in a lot of cases, they have the feeling that if their command structure finds out, then they're not going to progress in their careers. Okay, and that's we're dealing on an individual service basis, okay, and nationally through the VA to get this known, and we're helping try and get the education out there so that this does not happen. We've got the word out. You know, if they don't want to talk to their command structure, you know, talk to a friend, talk to us.
Right.
You know, and we can very, very possibly help them out. It's sometimes I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I don't want to. I mean, are they going to be afraid, like, you know, like that somebody has to report it, or is confidentiality given to them?
Oh, that's confidentiality. That's definitely confidentiality.
Good.
I've had veteran friends come to me
mm-hmm.
through hard times and give up their weapons to me and that sort of thing because they were afraid of what they might
wow.
do, and that is totally confidential.
Good. That's really good to know.
Well, that's a trust you don't want to break because you want to continue to have them come to you.
Exactly.
And that's one of the community things we do. We have 5 primary items that we do in the community, and that's our community activities. Okay, hospital, Americanism, youth. There's another one. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hospitals being the VA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one, too. You know, since we really kind of started VA, if you want to call it that, that's an advocacy that we continue all the time. I personally go to Green Street and Lock Raven on a monthly basis. We haven't been able to lately because of the pandemic, but once they open it
right.
back up, we'll be going to do that again. And basically what we do is visitations with goodies and bingo.
And
the whole idea is, and the whole idea is just to let them know that they are not forgotten. And that's a big thing, you know. Green Street, not so much because that's more of a patient care hospital type thing. But Lock Raven is a living facility. I mean, they live there on a long-term basis.
Wow.
Yes. So,
for rehabilitation and everything.
Yes. Yeah, rehab in the whole 9 yards. But, you know, in some cases, you know, it's more than that. And they're there for extended periods of time. I've been doing the bingo over there probably for 4 years, and I see some of the same people.
Wow.
The entire thing. So it's
huge. Because when COVID hit, though, were you able to do like do it on Zoom, or did they just have to stop everything? Or
well, unfortunately, trying to deal with it. Well, yeah, we dealt with the VA on Zoom from an administrative standpoint, but trying to get all the patients together, you really couldn't do it because of the, you know, the six feet distance and blah, 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 and the whole 9 yards.
Right.
The masks.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to getting cranked up on this again because our veterans have been starving for like 15 months. They haven't had the camaraderie that we try and bring to them.
Hmm.
Now you had mentioned donating to the VFW. There's a number of ways to do that. On a national level, you can go to www.vfw.org.
Okay.
And there's a tab on there that says donate. And you can make donations at a national level. What that will go to is it will go to our unmet needs. And that's a program we have that veterans can contact the VFW when they're in distress, monetarily in distress, and they can get grants up to, I believe it's $1,000.
Okay,
there's a VFW Foundation. And that's as much for the veteran as it is for the local post, but you can petition them for grants up to $5,000 so long as it's basically to benefit the community, at least from a post standpoint.
It's national? You just go to the national site or state sites, or do they?
No, national. Well, you can go to the state site and get to the national site from there, but that's the VFW.org is the national site.
Okay.
And I might add, I might add so that people understand, you do not have to be a VFW member to get these benefits. They're for
really?
All veterans.
They're for all veterans?
Yeah. Yes.
So even if they weren't in the war. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right.
What is it, because I know, I didn't know until we were working together on things that about the, that, you know, my dad was in the service and he passed away in 85, that I could join the VFW. Mm-hmm. So you just have to get their DD-214s, I think, or, so family members, is it all just immediate family members or does it go down the line? Because I don't think a lot of people know
no,
that.
It's immediate blood relatives up to grandparents.
Okay.
Uncles, aunts, no, that kind of thing. But it's like father, mother, because now we have, you know, female veterans, so any spouse.
Right.
Either. Okay, and then grandparents. And of course, brother and sister. It's immediate.
That is
blood.
Really, really good. That's really good. Yeah. And then brothers and sisters also, that's good, all immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Because the American Legion, anybody can join even if they weren't in the war. And what I've heard over and over is that it's the VFW is really hurting because a lot of the members are older, you know, with the wars. I mean, you go back to Second World War, right, and then and on Korean War, and then a lot of this, right, kind of
unfortunately,
most people are alive.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we have very, very few veterans left.
Yeah.
Very, very few Vietnam veterans left. Korea and Vietnam. So they're thinning out, too. So we're really coming down to, I mean, I'm a Desert Storm, but I was older when I went there. I was 50 years old when I went to Desert Storm.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know where I'm at in that whole scheme of things, but what we really need to do and what we're trying to do is identify more with our younger veterans by working with Student Veterans of America.
Uh-huh.
And what that is, it's an organization that similar to us on a lot of the college campuses, and it's a forum for those student veterans to voice their concerns, opinions, you know, up channel them, whatever. So we're working very closely with Student Veterans in America.
Oh, that's fantastic. So tell us what else, because I'm going to loop back around and see other things that people can find out what else people can do. You all get involved in so much, right, with like even helping with building homes or people that need prosthetics or does it, like, are there basically, like, for example, like the VA hospitals or, say, Walter Reed or different hospitals and things, people may go to VA saying, hey, I need this and I need that. But you take it to a different level, right? Tell us how that, the VFW, the channels, like, is there a quicker way for them to get it because they come through the VFW or what?
Yes, there is. Every state, okay, and territory has what they call a Veterans Service Officer, a VSO.
Okay.
What that is, okay, that is a certified member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Sorry, my phone's ringing.
Go ahead. Oh, you're
Veterans
fine.
Of Foreign Wars, yeah, that has been trained to deal with the VA.
Okay.
And the reason I say trained, they go through two levels of courses and testing to get certified. And basically what is taught to them is how to advocate for the veteran with the VA, because they have their own language, if you want to call it that.
Right.
And the average person or the average veteran is not familiar with that language. And I'll be
that
honest with
sense.
You, my experience is if the veteran goes to the VA on their own, without a service officer advocate, in a lot of cases, they're going to get turned down for any benefits.
That's so wrong.
Well, it,
but I hear what you're saying, because it's just going through the system and knowing how to do it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm basically the service officer for my post, which, and then what that entails is I can help the individual, I can guide the individuals in filling out their paperwork, make sure they have it all together. But I'm not certified at the state level, so I turn it over to a certified service officer, and they actually start handling it through the VA. And they will track it from beginning to end. If there's if the veteran decides that he didn't think he got a fair shake and he wants to go for a higher percentage, then we're there to appeal for him too. And this is a free service to all veterans.
That's what I was wondering. Just, totally free? Completely
free? Totally
free.
Yeah, doesn't cost him a penny. Okay.
So they go to veteran service officers are trained to it, so they would actually go to what, go on to the VA, VFW.org and find it, or?
Yeah. Basically what you can do, you can go to VFW.org,
okay?
Okay. And there's a tab there that says find a post, and there's another tab that says find a service officer.
Okay.
And this is without having to log in. I mean, you don't need a login for that.
That's fantastic.
But every state and territory has at least one certified service officer. So, and that's
fantastic. And this is for all veterans, even if they've never been in the war. Somebody could have just enlisted a couple years ago, and they're having problems with something, and they could go up there, right, and get some information.
That is correct.
Right? That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's I'm asking a different question, but so there were other things you're doing with it, and there were other things you're doing too, because I know you're just so about volunteering and serving, and I just want to hear some more about some of the other programs and things you're doing that people
I served in the military for 30 years, okay, over 30 years. I'm a past state commander, so. There's a lot of stuff I get into, and it's all basically veteran support. I'm the chairperson for the Joint Veterans Committee of Maryland, and that's where we basically what that is. We get together, and it's representatives from every veteran service organization, like the American Legion, you know, the Catholic War Veterans, AMVETS, you know, VAV, the whole nine yards. And we kind of coordinate our efforts to support veterans. Okay, and promote these positive images that we're out there to do. The other thing that I do is I'm the location coordinator for Garrison Forest Veterans Cemetery for Reeves Across America.
Oh, wow.
So I've got 32,000 graves out there that I would love to get to the point where I'm putting a commemorative wreath on every grave.
How do they donate for that?
You can go to wreathsacrossamerica.org, okay, and there's a tab there that says donate or sponsor. I think it is sponsor a wreath, but what they need to know if they want to give to Garrison is, excuse me, locate the cemetery first, or whatever cemetery they want to donate to, locate that, open that portion of the webpage, and then donate from there. And it's credit card friendly. I think PayPal is even in there. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But if you want to donate to Garrison Forest, just type in Garrison Forest Veteran Cemetery.
Okay.
And the Garrison Forest page will pop up, and you can donate from there. You can even donate by name. In other words, what will happen is
if you know the soldier that was buried there.
Pardon?
You mean if you know the soldier's name of who was buried there?
Yes. Yeah. If,
really?
If it's a parent. Oh, yeah. If it's a parent, a friend, whatever. Fill out to donate by name as much as you can. And what happens is sometime after sponsorship closes, which is normally November the 31st, I will go in and download the everyone who – put in the by name, you know, or sponsored. And I download that report, and the ones that don't have a site for the grave, I go up to Garrison Fields. I go up to the cemetery, and I sit there with Cindy, who is the assistant administrator, and I will find the sites, and I will personally make sure that the grave reads are.
Oh, you're fantastic.
Grave. It's what you do for our veterans. I mean, there's so many out there that gave so much more. So I want to continue to give as long as I can.
That's fantastic. on the reefs, like how they have reefs. You know how you sometimes you'll see the veteran cemetery and I don't see a bunch of headstones. I mean, it's different, of course, National Cemetery, Garrison
right.
Cemetery. But and it's like I can remember the one down on on the Eastern Shore there was a post over there. Chrisfield?
Herlock or Chrisfield?
It was Chrisfield. And I saw all the cemetery. I saw and they were like, they had little markers, and it just made me sick, you know? I mean, because it was like that, wait a minute, that, how does that work like that? I mean, that's not something, I mean, that's something that probably was done a long time ago, right, for different cemeteries?
Right. Well, actually what that was, and unfortunately the VFW post in Chrisfield had to close, okay,
due to lack of orders.
But those little crosses and stuff were actually put up and maintained by that VFW post.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because, you know, it's not a state or federally sponsored cemetery. And this is another sad thing, you know. We have a lot of veterans that are not buried in state or federally sponsored cemeteries.
Right.
And this is where Reefs Across America comes in somewhat important. Is they're, in a lot of cases, the folks that hit these little cemeteries,
right?
Make sure that there are flags put out there on Memorial Day and Veterans Day too.
That's good.
So yeah, really so cool. they're not forgotten. For
they're
the,
not
and,
no,
and
but
question,
go ahead.
And I'll ask a question: how many people? And I don't know how many are on here and where they're from. Did you know that in Reisterstown, Maryland, in a very small black cemetery, there is a Congressional Medal of Honor unit?
That's got to be right there on, what's the name of that street? I think I know where that is. There's a little cemetery there off of Main Street on the side.
I can't think of the name of it. It's on New Avenue.
Yeah.
His name is Augustus Wiley.
Wow.
He was a Buffalo soldier. He was a slave until 1862 or 3.
Wow.
When he got older, he joined the American military. He was a Buffalo soldier, served in the Wild West, if you want to call it that.
Wow.
And then also served during the, I believe, the Spanish and American War. He won his Congressional Medal of Honor in the Wild West.
Wow.
They tried to give him a second Congressional Medal of Honor for his service in the Spanish-American War. He did that. He had that much valor, and he did that much good and served that honorably. They turned the second one down because it just wasn't really heard of, number one, to give to, and number two, to give to an African-American. That was just an African back then.
Well, Augustus Wiley, huh? Augustus Wiley.
Yeah, his name is Augustus Wiley, and we in Post 521 make sure that he gets a flag on his grave every year.
Oh, God bless you.
It was quite interesting in a way because if you ever go to visit the grave, there are two headstones. The first one was the headstone that was put in when he passed that really didn't show any military service. The second one is the one that was erected when it was brought to the Congressional Medal of Honor Committee's attentions that he didn't have the proper headstone. So there is a proper Congressional Medal of Honor.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So there's actually two of them there.
That's so cool.
But just if you get a chance to look up his history.
I will. Augustus Wiley.
Yep.
Wow. That's amazing.
Now to kind of turn it around a little bit. If people are wondering how they can help.
Right.
The best thing to do I won't say the best thing, but it's up to you folks. What I recommend is locate a post, a VFW post, or an American Legion post or whatever, because, you know, like I say, we're all here about the veterans. But for the VFW, locate a VFW post in your neighborhood or in your area.
Okay.
And see where you can help. See how
just
you can
ask
help.
Just ask them volunteering. Yep.
Yeah. We accept volunteers. You may not be able to join, per se, but we would certainly accept donations, any volunteering, that sort of thing. And keep in touch with that post, even if it's just a neighborhood post, for all the ceremonies we have. We did a Memorial Day ceremony. We did a Flag Day ceremony, which is very moving. We're going to have some on July 4th. Veterans Day, even before Veterans Day, the end of September is POWMIA Day. We have services for
It is? Missing in Action Day? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the end of September. The middle of September. The end of September is the actual VFW anniversary. But, get your Boy Scouts involved, or your Scouts involved, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Brownies, whatever, okay?
That would be really good, because they need to know.
And this is another thing that Race Across America does. Educate them. You know, let's not let this legacy go down the
So this is called Reach Across America? Reach Across America? Is that what you said it's called?
No,
Reeves across America.
That's one of the major tenets of the Reeves across America. Kids start, honor the veterans, and then to educate too.
Most of the people that are listening would be agents and brokers across the country, but we have general audience also, and a lot of people listen to archive, because they'll listen to it later. And it can be anywhere, actually, because that is really good. I'm going to check out the Reads Across America and then see, because so many people have these, crazy busy schedules, and then many people don't or were retired and can help, that it just takes, there's always something you can do, right? Always. And I think... that's fantastic. With the graves, just for me to not sidetrack, but I'm just curious, are there a lot of, across the country, would there be a lot of, small VFW, or not VFW, veteran memorials that are, small, kind of like Crisfield, or is that kind of rare to see where they're not, they don't have anything on them other than crosses?
There probably are a lot. It was more of a thing, if you will, put these monuments up after World War I and World War II. There are certain monuments in certain areas on a larger basis that are for our Desert Storm, Iraq, and Afghanistan veterans.
Okay.
But it's more, it depends on the town and the area.
That is so, because I would think, if people get into, say, your local area and you get into the Reefs Across America and you go to your local posts, there's probably so much that comes up, right? Hey, we need help with this or help with this or just anything. And I tell you, the suicide rate with COVID has been astronomical. And they said especially young ones, teenagers, because of the lack of connection and, this social, everybody's so used to the social were a thing now, Facebook and Instagram and all these other things, but it's not the same as actually really connecting. There's pluses and minuses to all of it.
That's been the biggest thing with the veteran suicide rate. We're putting ourselves out there hoping they will talk to us. You can't make them do that.
No.
You can put the word out that we're there if you want us.
Right, that's fantastic. That's... And confidential, so it's private because so many people are concerned about one person says to another person and it goes on and on and on.
Every VFW post and department at a state level has what they call a relief fund, okay?
Okay.
And these are funds that we put away that are donations or profits from a crab piece, whatever, that we set aside. And if a veteran comes to us and needs some monetary help, if they meet certain criteria, we will certainly give that to them.
Good.
And that's at a local, a state, and a national level. So, as I mentioned before.
I'm so glad that this is a time, I'm so glad that now with VA, that VA is getting more into mental health than they were, like, say, when my dad served in Vietnam, you know, or you know, I mean, like, I'm just saying with different wars.
Absolutely.
Because
and they're getting in, they're getting more into the aspects and the care for our women veterans, because the physiology is different. The mentality, and I don't mean this to sound negative, but the mentality is different.
It's true.
You know?
Right.
So,
well, women, we are different than men, you know. But when you hear about World War II, women went to work and women went and helped and they got involved, but they weren't on the fields fighting. You know, they might be helping in nursing or other things. And it's just now, women are pretty much allowed to get into everything now.
They weren't necessarily on the field, but they were in the area of what we call the area of responsibility. Now, if you want to fast track forward to Vietnam, we had 8 nurses killed on the battlefields in Vietnam.
Oh, no.
They're on the wall.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're on the wall. 8 female nurses.
It's terrible.
So that's how – and that wasn't a combat role. That was just – the way it was, okay? Now you have our ladies in at, okay? And they're going to, you know, they're going to come back with injuries that the VA is going to have to take care of. So the VA, fortunately, has started to step up and get their act together insofar as taking care of these women veterans. It's got to be.
It's huge. I'm glad they're doing it. And I know, you know, with the when people go to war, even if they're not at war, you know, being a, you know, I was an Army brat, so I'm familiar with all of it. But I don't, a lot of people don't realize the stress that's on the families, the whole family, because, you know, your spouse has gone off to war or off to, you know, to serve or in different places. It doesn't have to be a war, right? So the whole family has to kind of be in there and support each other. You know, I've seen where, you know, you used to hear more, it was the man goes off and the woman stays home. Well, lots of times now you hear the woman's off and the man's home, you know, raising the children.
Yeah,
so it's a big family affair.
Well, and the services have kind of stepped up to the plate on that to an extent with their family programs. I know when I was on duty, I was the military liaison to our family program over at my base. And, you know, we knew, and when I was deployed, it was the same way. The thought process which went behind the family programs was to ensure that when that member was deployed, be it male or female, that if there was a problem that arose within the family, that there was support out there. And the reason that was important to us, you know, and even in my case, okay, I'm over there to do a mission. The last thing I need to be doing is worrying about what's happening at home. Is my
exactly.
wife okay? That
right.
sort of thing. And that's what the family programs are for, and that's what they accomplish, and they do a great job at it. They really do.
That's fantastic.
And that's another thing, and that's another group that VFW works with. So.
Yeah, and you really know. I mean, you know. The VFW has been around the longest. I mean, really, you know, all of it. It's like,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry, no, there's never any dumb question, right? So, what does MDANG stand for? Medang.
Medang, Maryland Air National Guard. I was full time with them.
Oh, Maryland. Okay, Air National Guard. Okay, I didn't. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we used to sing Medang me. Anyway.
That's so funny. I love it.
I was basically on active duty, permanently assigned to the Maryland Air National Guard, which doesn't mean I didn't deploy. I mean, we went all over the place. But most of my overseas stuff was with the Air National Guard.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you for serving. I say that all the time to you because it's just so amazing.
It was an honor to me. Just you know, when you thank, the time to thank our veterans is on Veterans Day, and I say this all the time. Memorial Day is for those that lost their life in combat or on duty. Okay, Veterans Day is when you thank me.
That's good to know.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't thank me on Memorial Day because I'm kind of sitting there mourning, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. And that's November 11th, right, is Veterans Day?
It's Veterans Day. Yeah, Memorial Day was just passed, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sorry because I do. I'll go, thanks for serving, even on Memorial Day, you know. And I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's a very
– There's nothing wrong with thanking our veterans, but that is not the day to do it because everybody's mindset –
I'm glad you said that. Right. I'm just mourning them, and no, I understand.
I'm really going to throw myself out there. For everybody that's got a pen and pencil,
okay,
if you have any more questions or anything that I can answer, or if you need assistance, you know, with the VA or anything like that, my email address is Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, Bill, B-I-L-L, one word, 406, @gmail.com.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, throw out whatever questions you have. Just put there somewhere in the subject, say, got a question from the podcast.
Thank you.
And normally, I wear my phone, which has email, on my hip. It's like an extension of my body. So I'll normally get back to you within a day or two.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's Yeah, there's so much that people can do, though. So VFW.org is definitely a great site to go to start off, or go to your local post, like you said. Go to local post, right?
Yeah.
And
local post. Another interesting way, because they're one of our sponsors, we all have hair, some more than others, because I'm bald. But anyway, Sport Clips is one of our sponsors.
Oh, good.
One of our big sponsors to the tune of over $1 million a year. Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Every haircut that they perform, the VFW gets a donation from that haircut.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So if you get your haircut, and yes, they will do women's hair. If you get your haircut, go there.
It's called Sports Clips?
Sport Clips, yeah.
Okay.
And they have a website, so, and they're in pretty much every state in the United States. So, and another one, believe it or not, is Burger King.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Burger King.
That's
a lot. And on the Reach Across America side, Fish and Barbecue.
Fish and Barbecue?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic.
They're a big sponsor for Reach Across America. Yeah, they donated 300 wreaths, I think it was, last year, just to Garrison Forest.
Oh, that's fantastic. Who at the VFW, I guess you have different, I mean, there's different levels or different administrative, who would go after all the sponsors, like, to try to get people involved?
They do that at National. That's their job.
Okay.
But that's not to say that we at a post level can't find community contacts, okay? Like that.
Right, and then build it up.
The Mission Barbecue down here in Owings Mills, we have built a fantastic relationship with them, and they're always helping us, and so have I from the Reach Across America standpoint. So they're always willing, and they're veteran-owned, so they're out there helping veterans all the time, nationwide.
That's fantastic. Wow.
If you want to learn a lot more about the VFW, and you can get on the non-login side of it, we'll tell you about the assistance we do, who we advocate. There's a whole section there on media and events, so you can see what they're doing nationally.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. We've got our national convention coming up. There's a media room.
Well, wait, when's the national? So the Maryland one was in June, was canceled. When is national?
National is the end of July, the first part of August, and it's in Kansas City, which is where our headquarters is. I kind of figured that's where it was going to go because there's a humongous VFW presence there.
Oh, so they're still going to do it, right? They're not, because of COVID, they're not going to – they're definitely going live?
Yes. See, the reason it got canceled here is because of the Civic Center came back to us and they said they couldn't honor the mayor's COVID directions and have us there.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened. That's not to say that they may not be here again, and that they won't be here again sometime in the future, but I think they're set for the next 2 or 3 years. So
That's really good to know. I've got a thing. I know not to go, get off subject on the suicide situation, but it's really serious. And I know, like, in general, there's, like, suicide hotline lines, which a lot of people probably aren't aware of what the numbers are for suicide hotline. Right. Is it with the VA veterans, is that, if there is situations with suicide, and people are concerned, of course, they could go to the VFW, they could go to veterans. Is there any place to, 911 really wouldn't direct somebody. I'm just thinking.
Well, they might. Interesting that you brought that up. There's a national, and I'm looking it up now.
Thank you.
There's a national suicide crisis line.
I should have just had that. I should have had it out there, but okay.
Yeah,
800.
And I type for crap, so.
Because so, I.
Yeah, it's 1-800.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Okay?
Yep.
And it's 1-800-273-8255.
Okay, 1-800-273-8255. Yeah, because I'm bringing up one of my son's friends, who I've known him, since he was a little boy. He was in the 82nd Airborne, and he did two tours in Iraq, right? And I remember he used to write, my son let me read one of the letters that he wrote back in, 2003, somewhere around there, right? And I was in Hawaii all the time, and I knew him. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's alive and he's okay, but he's not okay. In the sense of things are going on. So he wrote about, it was so terrible in Iraq, the storms and the sand and they'd have to kill like 40, 50 people. It's terrible with these 40, 50-pound backpacks on their body, the way that they have, they're on ground, right? And they're jumping out of, it was horrible. And he definitely has post-traumatic stress disorder.
These are the people he needs to talk to. As a matter of fact, if he calls 911 and identifies himself as a veteran, they should transfer him over to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Well, he's not thinking of suicide. He's definitely got post-traumatic stress disorder. But what happened is like, how a lot of these people don't want to, they think they're okay, but they're not okay, but then they know they're not okay, but they're not getting out. So I am glad that the VA is starting to do more, because he then went and became a Baltimore City police officer. So then for 15 years. Well, now he is kind of disabled because he's having problems with some of that stuff. And he gets a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah.
A very smart guy, but the effects of war are horrible. Huh?
It can be overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming.
Oh, my gosh. Totally overwhelming. Like, he can't – if he hears a bunch of loud noise and boom, boom, oh, my gosh, it's just really scary. So, but the one thing I'm glad they're starting – huh?
Go ahead.
I'm glad they're starting to do things, because he told us – and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this – and told my son – when he got out of Iraq for the second tour, and he was getting out of the military, and then before he went into the police force, they asked him. He said they asked like three questions: Are you at all suicidal? Could you hurt yourself? Have you had been scary thoughts? I don't know. And he answered yes, not that he would hurt anyone else. And they didn't do anything. But this was back in, 2003 or four. I think it actually was 2000. Now that I get, it was around 2005 or six, and but when he was getting out,
This has just come to the forefront in the last 8 to 10 years.
Okay, because it's just ridiculous, But I'm glad that now that they're really taking it more seriously,
Two more things very quickly. If you go to the National Suicide Crisis Line and you bring up their page, if you will. There's actually a button there that says depression test. So you can kind of self-test.
Oh, good.
Okay. And see the other resources that are there are support groups, immediate help, and then treatment for suicidal thoughts. And what they do is they link you to experts. There is somebody on the other end of that line 24/7.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And that's what people need to understand. And, you know, there's always someone there that will listen if you reach out. And that's all we're trying to get people to do is reach out and let us know. The other
thing, and that's fantastic. Yeah.
The other thing that I wish this was my when I was state commander, this was my special project, was the VFW and National Home for Children. What that is a 300-plus acre spot up in Eaton Rapids, Michigan, that has 54 large homes on it. And basically their mission is to take care of veterans' children when the veteran has been deceased, or veterans that are having problems like this, you know, because of PTSD.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, PTSD, they can't get a job, you know, that sort of thing. And here again, if they, I mean, it's not a free ride from the standpoint that it's kind of like boot camp. You know, they keep the veteran to a schedule,
right?
You know, and they make them sign agreements, and they have to do certain things, but they will get them jobs, get them education if that's what they want, anything that they need to succeed in life and for their family, the National Home will do. And again, doesn't make any difference if you're a member or not, and it is totally free.
That's fantastic. That's in Michigan.
Yes, Eaton Rapids, Michigan. Just type in VFW and National Home, and you will be totally amazed. I was, like I said, when I was state commander, that was my special project. And throughout my year, we in the state of Maryland were able to amass $55,000 to donate to them. Actually, it was
That's
almost
fantastic.
57. But this is an ongoing. I mean, they get the kids to school. They get jobs.
Oh, that's fantastic. They'll do
job training, the whole nine yards. And this does not cost the veteran or the family anything. They live there. I mean, you know, they live there free. And they can stay there up to 6 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So that's another thing that we do, that anything you can donate to. And that's one I donate to every year. And you can donate right online with them. Just go to type in VFW National Home for Children, and it'll bring
so
up
VFW VFW National Homes for National Home for Children in Michigan, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, you have been I'm just amazing. Thank you so much for coming on too. You've just been incredible. And,
it was an honor. Thank you for asking me. I appreciate it. I think the biggest thing that we as an organization don't do is get the word out there as to what we do. So.
Right. And no, it's hard. It's impossible, you know, because days go by and it's a matter of, it's really difficult. So we wanted to help get the word out and delegate it to figure out how to do that, because you know as well, I mean,
right.
You know from all that you've done all these years, it's the action, it's the picking up the phone, it's the donating, right? It's the accountability, because otherwise we all want to do things, but then it gets put off a month or a year, or, you know. So everybody listening, I mean, you can do just one thing, or you get involved in, like, Commander Miller, which I'm always going to say, get involved with your local post. Find out who your local post is. Find out what they need. Stop in, you know.
Right.
And it's amazing how much is needed, but it doesn't take much. Hmm?
But and like I say, don't forget my email address, millerbill406@gmail.com.
Okay, and if you guys forget it, you know, you can go to realityuniversal.com, fill out contact us, and we'll get it for you too. So that, because, well, thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Is there any? Oh, we've got so much going on, and it's it's hard to believe it's already this time of year already, but it is, and we're rolling.
Really?
And I'm just glad so many people are healthy and getting around this curve of this coronavirus, because it's been such an unknown, you know, as to what to do. And we keep putting one foot in front of the other, right?
Once the baby steps, and then we'll be fine.
They do. They'll work it out. So I hope to see you soon. And please tell Penny I said hello and give her a big, big hug for me. I can give a virtual hug, but you can do the real hug now. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Yes. You all take care. Thanks for listening to me.
And take care.